Hello and welcome to Stepping Into Truth. I'm your host, Omkari Williams, and I'm very glad that you're here with me today. This is the podcast where we take on the issues of race, gender, and social justice. And I love these conversations that I have with people doing work in these realms, but these conversations aren't just meant to be intellectually interesting. They are meant to move us into action, action in our personal area of passion and interest. Right now, we are at a critical moment in history. The climate crisis, women's rights, criminal justice reform, immigrant rights, and the list goes on. Each of us is being called to act, but what action looks like depends on who we are, what we care about, and what we have to offer. There is no one way of being an activist. Each of us needs to find our way. My guest today, filmmaker Don Estell, is doing activism his way. Let me first tell you about Don and then about the film that he's making. Originally from New York City and raised in Kansas City, Missouri, Don Estell left home at 16 to work as a model. His career took him to Europe and South Africa. Eventually settling in New York, he continued working as a model and actor. In 2008, he moved to LA, where in addition to his acting, he also started working as a private chef. And that would eventually lead him to producing. One of his clients was the late Alison Schirmer, former head of Paramount Studios. She was the producer of American Pie, the Jason Bourne franchise, and the standalone Star Wars movies. And she was one of the first to encourage him to follow his dreams of producing film. That encouragement led him to creating the film She Speaks. Wanting his first production to be something he was passionate about, She Speaks was the obvious choice of subject. Don says, the voices of Black women are often misunderstood and overlooked. She Speaks will shine a light on the depth and richness of these voices and showcase how and why Black women are the future. She Speaks is a documentary that elevates the voices of Black women. It gives us, the viewer, an opportunity to hear from a group of women that are systemically marginalized and often taken for granted. Yet they are also the ones who are making the most effective changes within our society. They are our mothers, healers, nurturers, and a great deal of the time, our financial stability, a burden that's been laid on their shoulders, not because they have chosen to do so, but more out of necessity. We are part of a society that dictates to all women how they should look, act, and be. And within that are Black women who are consistently forced to accept the devaluation of their very existence, working twice as hard for half as much. In She Speaks, we hear their own words about their struggles and their joy, how in spite of all things weighted against them, they continue to shine. We get to see what true strength looks like. She Speaks is a chance for us to appreciate and value the power and beauty of Black women. And I am so happy to welcome Don to the podcast. Hey.
Hello. Thank you.
How are you? Oh, you're so welcome. I'm so pleased that you're here.
Thank you. I'm doing great, actually. That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I just looked at what I saw of the little clip that you sent me, and, you know, here we are. And I want to start with this. Because when we first spoke, I was so struck and moved by your commitment to this subject. And it was immediately clear to me that you are truly passionate about this and about elevating Black women. And I'd love to have you talk about what your inspiration for making this film was.
So one of the biggest ones was Tarana Burke. I don't know if people know who she is, but she is the founder of the Me Too movement.
Yes.
And she had written this open letter. It was on Twitter, and she was applauding the things that were going on within the Me Too movement, women who were just calling out men like left and right. And she was applauding that, but she also said that she could not help but feel erased from a movement that she had begun.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept reading more and more what she was talking about, and her friends who were coming to her defense and understanding what she was saying by that statement. You know, so it led me to call first my sister-in-law and to ask her, as a Black woman, do you ever feel that you were not heard? And that was a 4-hour conversation. I like, I kid you not, it was a 4-hour conversation.
Wow.
And it was, yeah, it was painful. It was eye-opening, but it was also really painful to hear her say the things that she was saying, things that I just had just overlooked and had, I feel, maybe just had assumed, because she's such a strong individual, to actually hear her say that she felt so small and so little and so ignored was painful to hear.
Yes.
And I also started calling a few other of my friends, also to other Black women. And it was the same conversation, but in different ways. And that led me just to want to actually pick up a camera and to actually just document some of the words that they were saying, and also to create the documentary that I'm doing now. So I wanted to shed a little bit of light, because I see Black women as incredibly, I hate the word strong, but I always go back to my mother raising me and my brother on her own, mm-hmm. completely, raising two boys on her own, and also attending school and working a full-time job at the same time. If that's not strength, I don't know what that is, you know? And it was, because I grew up in it, it's like you just assume that that's what everybody does.
Yes.
And it's not.
No, but it was your normal.
Yeah. But it was my normal. Yeah, it was my normal. And that's what I see every time I see Black women. That is my normal when I look at Black women. And then to hear them say that they just feel completely erased is painful to hear that, you know?
Yes. So what's the message that ultimately in the perfect world that you want to send with this film? What do you want people to walk out of this film feeling and thinking?
Well, the first is I want them to hear these voices, especially the women that we've been interviewing, but to look at Black women in a completely new light. There, I feel like there is this sort of discourse in how Black women are shown in the media. There's the one where they're always the strong Black woman, or they're the sassy Black woman. There's mm-hmm. all these stereotypes that are around Black women. And we're looking to change that, to actually show Black women in the light that I see them, that the director sees them in, which are these soft, beautiful, feminine women who are human beings, who have struggles and who have every other thing going on like everyone else, but yet still get up every morning and still go out and do the things that they do. And they do it with such grace and with such dignity. And I think that needs to be shown, you know, that grace, that beauty, and that dignity needs to be shown around Black women.
That's so lovely. And you touched on something that I found to be so true in my experience when back in the days when I was acting, there mm-hmm. were so few roles that were open to Black women. It felt like you either were, as you say, you know, the sort of strong one, or you were the sassy one, or you were the attorney, or you were the maid. I mean, it did not feel like there was a range of humanity, of our humanity depicted in these characters. And that was, it's one of the reasons that I ultimately quit the business. I was just like, I'm done with this. This is too narrow. And
it's depressing.
It is. And it's improved a bit, but not as much as I think sometimes people think it's improved.
That's exactly right too.
It's hard.
It's very hard. I think that out here in Hollywood, there is a bit of lip service that is paid to appease certain things for a certain amount of time.
Yes. You know,
they will tout diversity and they will prop up one or two diverse faces, but it still is the same thing that goes on. There isn't really a huge change. It is changing. I don't want to say that it's not changing. It is changing, but not as rapidly as it should be. And not has that door still not open wide enough to accommodate all, is what
yes.
I think.
Yeah, I completely agree. Completely agree. And I feel that part of the dynamic that happens is that we feel like, okay, so Hollywood, and I'm going to reference Hollywood because sure. so much of how we engage in the world is determined by what we see, and Hollywood has a disproportionate impact on what we see. So you have a character like Olivia Pope on Scandal, and mm-hmm. that makes the powers that be in Hollywood feel like they've made all this progress.
Right.
But it's just this one character in a very, very narrow realm of the human experience, and right. in this very rarefied realm. And yet it makes people in Hollywood feel like, well, I, you know, we have Scandal, we have this lead character here, or we have Black-ish, or we have, you know, all of these right. shows. And yes, it's great that we are seeing that, but for the powers that be to, and the powers that be in Hollywood are overwhelmingly white and male still.
And male, yes.
For those powers that be to think that they have actually accomplished the goal of real diversity and real exploration of the humanity of Black women is laughable. I mean, it's yes. just, it's laughable. And it's on all of us to keep pushing, because if we don't, they're just going to feel like we've got this and we can keep moving. And
we can keep moving, yeah.
Yeah, to the next
it's
thing.
Absolutely true. Yeah.
And it's part of the reason I'm so happy that you're doing this. And I have to say that this is a subject I would have expected to be taken up by a woman. And I am delighted that a Black man is taking this on. Because
Thank
I
you.
Think, oh, you're so welcome. But I think you. One of the patterns that's been set up in our society is one where Black women are often not strongly supported by Black men. So
yes.
it feels yeah. very important that you're making this film. And I'd like for you to speak to that, if you could, that whole dynamic.
You know, when I first I'd shot the idea around a little bit, and I did get a lot of, wouldn't it be better for a woman director to do this? So my answer to that is, the reason why we wanted to do it with a Black man behind the camera and one producing is that I do think that there are, that women are making this effective change that's going on out here. And a female director probably would have had a different take on it.
Mm-hmm.
But what we are creating is a love letter to Black women. It is where we come from, the director and I both. It is about our mothers, our grandmothers, our cousins. It's about our, you know, our aunts. You know, these are people who have been very, very influential in my upbringing and his mm-hmm. upbringing also too, as well. And I think that there is a different take when the person behind the camera that is actually listening to you is a Black man, that there is a different dynamic that occurs, I think, than rather than having another woman there. Women talk to each other differently than they talk to men. And we weren't the ones that were talking. We were the ones who were actually listening. And I think that created a different dynamic. I know with the piece that you saw that I had sent you,
mm-hmm.
I think it would have been a different conversation if it had been a woman behind the camera.
I absolutely agree.
You know how else to say that, but it's just, it would have been a completely different conversation. Now, with that, I feel like there is a lot of trust that has to go on to have that conversation that she had.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, I feel like, a safety that's different that you would get from another woman having a Black man listening to a Black woman. There is a safety that is there. I'm still trying to, you know, gather my words like properly to say this.
Sure.
There is a, I don't want to say a comfort, but there is a, like a, you have my back. There is an understanding that was there with us on those days that we shot of, I have your back. I am listening to you and I have your back. And I think it's in a way that two women can't do that for each other, but a male and the female dynamic can.
That's interesting. I mean, I think I understand what you're saying. I mean, I do, because women certainly do have each other's backs.
Oh my gosh.
But it's different.
Yeah.
It's definitely,
right.
it's more, there's a, a shared experience, a commiseration.
Right.
You know, and that just adds a different dynamic to it than the experience of telling someone who hasn't had this experience what this is like and having them say, I hear you and I've got your back.
Yes.
Even though I don't share this experience, this specific experience, there's a difference to that dynamic. And I think that that's not an unimportant aspect to it. I hadn't thought about it before, honestly. But when you say it, I think, yeah, if I were talking to a Black man about some aspect of what it's like to be a Black woman, that's a very different conversation than me speaking to another Black woman.
Yes, it's that difference. It's how we communicate, because you're right. There is a commonality between two women,
right,
and you can understand where she is coming from. I have not had the experience of being a Black woman. I've had the experience of being a Black man. So I know part of what your experiences are, but the other part of it is the male privilege, I guess, that you would say,
mm-hmm,
that we have the history of us as a people, you know, from slavery times up until today,
yeah,
you know, how we're ripped apart from each other, how Black women were forced to carry the weight of things,
mm-hmm,
how they just all sorts of things that, you know, go into that dynamic between Black men and Black women. We wanted to say that I see you, which I think you said that before, is I see you and I love you and I am here for you.
Yeah.
And tell me what it is that you need. Tell me what it is that you want me to hear. And that's what we are trying to do with this. I always call it, it's a love letter to Black women from us. We absolutely hear you and we absolutely see you and we want to do better. We want to do more. And what is it that we can do to uplift you as well? You know, I know that you're doing a lot of things on your own, but it's also, we want to not share in your uplifting, but to help bring it up even more,
mm-hmm,
if we could do that.
That's
to
really,
take like some of that, yeah, that weight
beautiful
off of your shoulders, or yeah, thank you. It's from my heart. I don't even know how else to say it. It's just from just the depths of the bottom of my heart. You know,
I think that that's really, really apparent to anyone listening to this, is how profoundly you mean this, and what a profound act of love and service this film is. And I just am so glad you're making this movie. I'm really happy about that. I want to sort of switch gears a little bit here. So something that's happened in the last few years, one thing that we are hearing a lot more about is the impact of Black women in various arenas. Like if you look at the election of Democrat Doug Jones to the Senate from Alabama, that was completely driven by Black women. Or Stacey Abrams, who was running for governor in Georgia and lost in an election that really had a lot of very shady stuff happening in it, has now, I mean, yeah, right? It's just, I was living in Georgia then. I'm still bitter about this. But, you know, she's gone out and started an organization to address voter suppression and accessibility to polls. And then Tarana Burke, whom you mentioned, the founder of the Me Too movement, has brought just amazing attention to the epidemic of sexual assault. And
yes,
you know, I'm so proud of all of these women because they're just amazing. The ones whose names we know as well as the ones whose names we will never know, but who are just doing that daily work of elevating and fighting for the things that matter to Black women, to Black people, to anyone who really cares about equality. And I'm curious about, in working on this project, if you can share without telling too much.
Sure.
Just what are some of the stories that have most impacted you?
There is this common theme with all of the women about sisterhood. The way that Black women elevate each other is one of the most amazing things that I have seen. They all talk about when they are down, they reach out to other Black women, their friends, they reach out to their friends. And there is always someone who has their back in that respect. There's always someone who has their back. And in turn, what they do when they are uplifted is they turn around immediately and uplift someone else. And it's like this sort of chain reaction. Like if you could call it that, but it's like this chain reaction of this. I don't get that as a male at all whatsoever, but watching like as a male, if I call my friends, they would tell me to buck up. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like they wouldn't sit there and listen to me. They would just be like, come on, dude, like just, you know, pull your big boy pants up and like, you know, suck it up.
Right.
But they really, there's really this beautiful sense of like, they want each other to do well. They want you to do well. They want you to be well. They want you to do well. And whatever that takes from the other person, they're going to give that to you. I keep talking about it with awe because men don't do that for each other, I don't think. You know, and it's
yeah,
like, that's
I don't
the
think
one
they
thing.
Do.
That I saw that I just thought was so, it's incredible. You know, we talked to a few women who do different programs, different initiatives that they work on. And there's one that's called Mindful Beauty, which teaches hairdressers to notice when their clients are depressed.
Oh.
And then, yeah, it's really incredible. And so we are hopefully at the beginning of the year, I think they start back up again. We get to watch the training process where they're working with therapists and psychologists about things to like notice and things to like help ease them, not so much out of their depression, but to like get them talking so that they can guide them to like getting some more help,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, that to me is like really, really incredible. There was another common theme about the self-care
mm-hmm.
that they do for each other. So there's another woman who once a month, she opens up her home and they have a tea, and it's a generational tea. So they have her grandmother, her nieces, and then the babies, and it's all just for women. And they have a person who comes in and does spa days. They have a woman who comes in and does nails, and they have these, she was even talking about, they had on their last one, they had a vaginal steam. They do all these spa like sort of things to, it's like self-care and
community.
Sorry, I'm getting community. Yes. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
I'm like, I'm getting all excited and stumbling over my words. But in the sense of community, because they want to be together, they're all, you know, people out here, we're always busy. We're always this, we're always that. But this is their way to come together once a month. They sit down over a table. They sit down for a full day and it's just for them. That's
really lovely. That's lovely.
Incredible. It's incredible. This is the best part. When we asked her, do you even see the things that you're doing now? Because she was talking about it as if it were just a Tuesday and mm-hmm. she was just going to work.
Right.
Like it was an everyday thing for her. And we are sitting there, like how amazing and how incredible that is. And we'd asked her, why do you do that? And her answer was, she's like, sometimes we just get tired and we just need it.
Yeah.
So she says, it's the one day that I take out, and I always make sure that I do it. I take it out for myself. I take it out for my mother. I take it out for my grandmother. I take it out for my nieces, for my sisters, for my friends. And it's the one day where we can just let our hair down and just be ourselves and to not worry about anything and to be in a safe environment and to relax.
Yeah.
Again, to me, brought up the weight that is carried.
Yes.
She's doing all of these amazing things. All of these women are doing all these amazing things, but we don't realize that that's such a weight that is carried, and not necessarily because you want to.
Right.
Someone has to. Yeah. Someone has to. But not like so much as your calling, but they always step up to the plate. And that was one of the things also too, that I felt just heartbreaking in a sense of she didn't even think about it. You know, she
mm-hmm.
didn't even think, she just did it.
Yes.
And it was just, well, what can I do to ease that? Well, what can I do to ease you having to work a full-time job and doing all of these things that she's doing. Like, she has a full-time job, and then she does all these other things that turns into another full-time job on top of the full-time job. Like, once a month, she gets a day of self-care. One day out of every 30, one day out of every 31.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
No, it's not.
It's not.
And yet, you know, I applaud her for not only taking that day out for herself, but for expanding it to the other women in her life, so that it's not only self-care, but it is community self-care, and it is an opportunity to sort of refill the well of sisterhood and shared experience. And, you know, and that's beautiful. That's just a beautiful thing that she's doing.
It's amazing. One woman after another, we were always so stunned at the power that they have, and not in the strong, you know, Black woman sort of way, but just that power as a human being to get up and do that on a daily basis. That is her life. You know, we had another woman that we spoke to too. And this is how my family was also, like, when we were growing up, about it takes a village to raise a child. There was a young boy, her nephew, whose parents were drug addicts. And the mother had gone to jail, and the father didn't even know where he was, and they were going to put him into foster care. Now, she has a newborn child, and she has two little ones under the age of 4. They just newly married. She's been with the same man forever, but they had just recently gotten married. And she never even thought twice about it, but she instantly took him in to her home. Yeah, instantly. It wasn't even a thought. He's not going into foster care. He's not going away from strangers. He's going to come and be with family. And now this is 10 years later, and this kid is thriving. And with all of that, and she's the primary breadwinner in her family also too, and with all of the things that she has going on, she still took even more time out to take in another one to care for. That's what Black women do. Like, when you really stop to think about that, the power of that, the greatness in that, the beauty in that. She never even thought for one second. She just saw family, and her instinct is to nurture.
Right.
That's her instinct, is to nurture.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Without a thought, not worrying about consequence, not worrying about where money's coming, not any of those things. It was just simply just to nurture. You know,
and I think it's interesting that you say that, because, you know, one of the things that I'm really aware of, I mean, and I remember as a kid walking down the street in New York, and you'd see Black nannies with white children. Mm-hmm. And I was always kind of struck by that, because I thought, well, who's taking care of their children, you know?
Their children, yes.
And how, but, you know, these women had to work. These women needed to be earning a living, and that was part of how they were taking care of their children and the ways in which they navigated those two worlds. And sometimes you'd see them with their children and the child they were taking care of
That's right.
You know, And I just remember kind of being in awe, because even a kid could tell that was a lot to navigate, you know? It's let's throw in some more children here of different ages and try and keep all of this together. And yet they did. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, like, wow, you know, and I think that people often dismiss the power and importance of that, and they dismiss the contribution that these women have made to society, because these women have raised these children who are now making decisions that affect all of us, and so on and so forth. So I just think it's something that people don't necessarily think about and give proper credence and appreciation to.
Yeah. You know? And you're right, they don't. Again, it's like why I really wanted to do this is to bring light to that.
Yeah.
To bring some light to that. I know that there are other people that are doing the same thing in their way, but there has to be a recognition of Black women at some point in a way that doesn't come from them, that it comes from everybody else. Because yes. I feel like they're the group that is literally the most disrespected. They're just so taken for granted. And again, like consistently ignored, consistently put on the back burner and consistently thrown away. We can't keep doing that anymore.
No.
Because they're also the ones who are consistently making changes. You know, they do that out of necessity. Lucy McBath running for office in her state because her son was shot simply in a car driving away and was shot.
Because his music too loud.
And
as if that's a reason anyone should be shot.
That's exactly. I think of like Sabrina Fulton also too, Trayvon Martin's mom, and just the things that she's been doing. And it's just, they don't do those things because they're choosing to. They're doing them a lot of times out of pain.
Yes.
You're doing them, Tarana Burke, her self-care and her taking care of herself, it was the creation of the Me Too movement.
Yes.
You know, that was how she got over her pain of what happened to her.
Yes.
Was to turn around and to help other women. And then to feel like you're erased from that.
Yeah.
25 years that's been going on.
That's, you know, I can't even imagine how painful that is. And, you know, that makes me think of something that I've long said, which is that the minority always knows more about the majority than vice versa. So women know more about men than men know about women. And it's a survival thing. You know, I mean, yes, technically speaking, there are more women than there are men in the world.
Right.
But the power dynamic makes that irrelevant. And I think that when you look at any minority, but specifically if you're looking at Black women have long understood how much work we need to do to understand how the power structures work, understand how to navigate the world. And being disadvantaged in two aspects in this society, being female and being Black, we're trying to figure out how to make this life that we have here a powerful, good life for us.
Right.
And that's a lot of wisdom that comes with navigating those worlds. And
that's right.
That wisdom then gets spread out in the community. And I think that that's what we're seeing very clearly right now, even though people may not be paying a lot of attention to it. But between Tarana Burke and Lucy McBath and Sabrina Fulton and all of these other women who are going out there and saying, okay, I've been watching, I've been studying up, I understand how this game is played, and now I'm going to take it and I'm going to shift the rules because the rules are not working for me and for
me.
Women who look like me. So I'm going to shift up that energy. And I think that's, you know, that to me is amazing to watch that happening.
Yeah, it's incredible to watch that happening. The woman that you saw in the clip that we sent you, the thing that she says at the end of it, it's sort of the mantra of the documentary itself, is we'd asked her what she would say to her younger self or to other young Black girls. And she says, walk down the middle of the sidewalk, take up space, because you belong there. You know, like
so great.
And it's such a profound thing to say, something so simple, but it's so true. You don't have to make yourself small. You belong where you are. Take up space. It's your world too. I was listening to I believe it was the Miss World who just won.
Miss Universe,
thank
yes.
you. Who just won from South Africa. And she essentially was saying the same thing, to take up space because you belong there. That space is rightfully yours to take also.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the common theme in all of the women, that that's what they're sharing with a younger generation. That's what they're sharing with their sisters.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they learn from their mothers and from their grandmothers. was how, in their own way, to take up space. Walk down the middle of the side.
That's just so perfect.
Yeah.
I had actually that exact experience one day. I was walking around the park in Savannah where I used to live, and I was just out doing my, you know, I'm going to do 3 laps of this park and then I'm done for the day. And I realized on the first lap, I realized I'm moving to accommodate every guy who is walking, coming towards me. I'm moving out of my pathway, even though I'm obviously speed walking on top of everything else. I'm the one who's moving. So for the last 2 laps that I did that day, I was like, I'm not moving. They can move around me.
They can move around you. Yeah.
It was really interesting. It was interesting how hard it was at first to not move.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to see how many times we almost crashed because they were so used to people moving for them. It did not occur to them that they might have to adjust. And I was just like, well, if I get knocked over, I'm going to get knocked over, but I am not moving.
But you're not moving. And you shouldn't have, again, you didn't have to.
And it felt great to just sort of take up the amount of space that I take up, which is not even that much space, you know?
Yeah.
You know? But I realized that was an important thing to do, is to stop ceding my space to other people just out of habit.
Right.
You know, if some elderly person had been walking towards me, I would have moved. But that was pretty much what the bar was, an elderly person or a woman with pushing a baby carriage.
Right.
That was the bar. And it was really interesting to not just let myself push myself off to the side.
Right.
So I love that, you know, to walk down the middle of the sidewalk. Yeah.
Yeah. Walk down the middle of this. It was such a fresh breath of air. It was just so refreshing to like hear that, you know, wasn't anything other than just be yourself.
Yeah.
And allow yourself to be within that space. For once, let everybody else walk around you.
Yes. Because why not? I mean.
And yeah, you've done enough. We can at least do that, you know?
Exactly. It's like,
we can at least do that.
It's my turn. You know, I get to have a turn.
Absolutely.
You know, it was more powerful than I would have imagined it to be. So I am going to second that woman and say, walk down the middle of the sidewalk.
Walk down the middle of the sidewalk. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, our time is getting short, and I wanted to bring something else up here. And it came up in your bio. You mentioned Alison Schirmer, the producer. I hope I'm pronouncing her name properly.
Yeah, Schirmer. Yeah.
And she was so important to you because she really was behind you on this. You should produce a film because that's what you want to do, journey. And I wanted to just bring that up because I think that's a role, that role of being a cheerleader that Black women take on all the time. We are cheering each other on. We're cheering our kids on and the kids of other people down the block. And we're cheering on the kids that we've helped raise. And it feels important to me to acknowledge how much of an impact Black women as the cheering section for all these other people, Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, how we fill that role and how important that is that we do fill that role, and just how important it is to acknowledge the worth of that piece of who we bring to things, that cheerleading piece.
Right. I was the private chef for them.
Right. And she happens to be a white woman. Let me just make that clear.
She happens to be a white woman. Yes, she does. Yeah,
but
she does.
She still stepped into that cheerleading role that
she did step into that cheerleading role.
Take on so often.
Yeah. When I had initially talked to her about it, she was one of the first people I had spoken to about it. I'd spoken to a lot of people, but she was very adamant about me doing it. She was a person who observes. She observes everything. And she says, I've seen you take something so simple and make it so elegant. I could imagine you behind a camera and what you could do if you had just a little bit of money to tell a story. Mm. Because the way that you do what you're doing right now, it's the most beautiful, elegant thing I've seen. So I can imagine what you would do given the opportunity. And she told me to just follow my heart. You know, she told me learn as much as I could, which I did. I spent a year actually just talking to other people. I would do little projects here and there, asking people how they did their job and not being afraid to like do those things. Anything that I didn't know, I would just ask. That always brings me back to my mom, like when I was younger, and an opportunity to go and to work in a foreign country. Mm-hmm. My mother is looking at me and she's saying to me, you're never going to have this again. Do it. Don't worry about anything else. Do it. If God has put this on your plate, take it. It's mm-hmm. a gift, and go and do it. And so that's what I did. My mother had just passed, and it was almost like my mother's voice mm-hmm. talking through this woman. There's yes. a gift that is being offered to you. There's help that's being given to you, and take it and do it.
Yeah.
I got to be really good friends with her, and he's sort of my mentor now, Matt Jackson. And he also was another person who was super instrumental in me doing this particular project. Because he told me, if you make your first piece about your passion and follow your heart, mm-hmm. if you're passionate about your first piece, you can get people to look at it. You can get people to buy into it. And
yes.
so when I started developing this, it's taken on a different form from like when it first started, but it's also, it's falling into what it is now and to what you are seeing. And it's something that's becoming really, really incredibly beautiful.
Yeah.
And with that, on the encouragement, some of the women that we've been interviewing, they know that we, like with anything out here, it's always a money factor, you know, getting a film made. These women actually banded together after we had interviewed them and we were telling them about the next steps that we were doing. I'd been showing them pieces of what we had been putting together because I like to keep developing the trust of like, this is what we're doing with your words.
Right.
We want you to see what we are doing with your words. There's no exploitation. There's no anything. We just want the world to see your natural, beautiful selves. So with that, these women knew that we were having problems trying to get our budgets met and to get more filming done. They all banded together to throw us a fundraiser.
Oh my goodness.
And which is, it's incredible. You know, it's
That's
just,
so
they
great.
Are, yeah, it's amazing. I remember Tracy telling us, you have to continue this. You mm-hmm. have to see this all the way through.
Yep.
And she's like, we would like to throw you a fundraiser to help doing that.
That's fantastic.
We were so taken aback and so, you know, just so in awe.
Yeah.
Like, here we are. We just want to tell people the world how great you are. And here you are yet doing another great thing. And it wasn't even like they blinked an eye. It was just done just straight from the heart.
Yes.
You know, because they really believe in this project. They really believe in what we are doing. And because they see that we really believe in them, they're helping us to make it come true and come to light, you know?
Yes.
They're literally helping our dreams to actually get this out into the world to like actually come true. And it's just, it's another, another little cherry on top of that sundae of
yes.
like how amazing Black women are and how incredible yeah. they are. And the constant encouragement. I get little notes from one of the women every other day, or she'll send me a Bible quote.
Mm-hmm.
She's always telling me to keep my head up. She's always sending me love. She's always just some little note to let me know that she's thinking of me and the work that I'm doing, and to say that she sees me as much as I see her. It's an incredible feeling, one, to have somebody love and care about you that much that they would take time out of their day to do those
yes.
little things. Two, it's, again, the power and the beauty and the magic of Black women that we want the world to see. That is who Black women are. I just,
wow.
I don't know how else to say that. That is who they are. They are truly the fabric of our society. They're truly the fabric of our culture and of this world, I believe, because they do so much, even the smallest little things that keeps everything going, you know,
yeah.
and we have to honor that and recognize that.
I am so glad you're making this film. I am so glad. I think that Allison would have been really pleased that you're making this film. I'm sure
Me
your
too.
mother is in heaven over the moon thinking,
yes,
that's my son. And
I believe she's watching and protecting over me. Absolutely.
I'm sure she is. I mean, and this is an amazing thing. I am going to put a link for your GoFundMe page for this film.
Oh, thank you.
Into
yeah, thank you so
the
much.
Episode notes so that people can help this film get finished and out there so that all of us can see it.
Thank you.
It's just amazing. Truly an extraordinary, extraordinary thing. So our time is up, but I just want to say, I want to say a couple of things. One is, I want to just say, first and foremost, thank you for doing this project. Thank you so much, because I feel like when this is finished and when people get to see it, it's going to shift the dynamic and the discussion and the energy. And that feels incredibly nurturing and incredibly important to me. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. That's so beautiful. Thank you.
I don't know if people are going to be able to see a little clip of this ahead of time or not. Are they?
Well, so what we've done is, on the night of the fundraiser, we are going to show the episode that the little clip that I showed you, we're actually finishing out her whole entire piece.
Okay.
So once we have shown that to like a larger crowd, we have a Instagram page, She Speaks Documentary. We have a Facebook page. I will start putting that up. And you can even check out some of the things that we've done so far on our Instagram page and on our Facebook page. We put up little clips here and there, not of all of the interviews, but just little things behind the scenes. And
that's great.
And some of that. And just some outtakes of, you know, there's a beautiful one with this wonderful woman called Sonia Marie. And she thanks us, and we ask her what was on her heart. We had finished talking and we spent 2 hours with her, and we just asked what was on her heart right then and there. And she tells us, and it's so just beautiful. You know, I hope everybody gets to see that, because that's sort of the basis of what the documentary itself is.
Well, I will definitely have links to all of that in the episode notes so that people can find it. And also, because this podcast is probably not going to air until after the first of the year, I may also have a link to the longer clip that Don just described
in the episode. Yes, absolutely. So. I will definitely send it to you. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yes. That would be awesome. Yeah.
This has been an incredible pleasure. I mean, I'm so happy we got to talk. So happy you're doing this.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
It's fulfilling and healing. I don't know how else to say it, but it's so fulfilling to do something that uplifts someone else, you know, and particularly Black women. And it's also just so healing, because I think we have so many issues within our own community. But this is like the one time I felt, at least for me anyway, where the curtains and the mirrors and all those things were taken off, you know, and we got to just see each other.
Yes.
You know, like
we just got
to see each other. And it's been really beautiful. Support Black women, y'all, if you hear me out there.
Yes, that is definitely the message.
Yeah.
So
support Black women. Absolutely.
Thank you again. And I just, I'm really appreciative. And for all of you out there listening, I want you to remember that each of us has a role to play in addressing the challenges of our world. So be sure to follow the link that you're going to find in the episode notes to my website, where you will find suggestions and guidance on creating your own way of being an activist in this world. So thank you for joining me for this episode, and I will be back with another episode very soon.